Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. You turn on the tap and clean, clear water comes out, suitable for drinking. Here in the United States, we take our water for granted until something goes wrong. But for every headline about a water crisis like Flint, Michigan, there are thousands of municipalities that deliver safe, potable water to their residents.
Yet many communities are facing decaying infrastructure systems, and municipal water is at or near the top of public concerns. Pipes and delivery systems that are now well over 100 years old are deteriorating, introducing the possibility of contaminants in the water. Joining us for an overview of how water is delivered to the public and the challenges communities face in working with an aging system is Dr. Richard Anderson, senior advisor to the U.S. Conference of Mayors Water Council, a position he's held since 1999.
Thank you for coming on Take Care and speaking with us today.
Well, very happy to be here. I'm pleased to be able to communicate to your listeners.
Well, let's start with the basics. How is water delivered from the source to our faucet?
It depends where you are. Your water source may be right under you, right next to you, or it could be 500 to 1,000 miles away. If I were in Denver or Aurora, Colorado, I would be getting water from snowpack that, when it melts, gets caught in a basin, a water basin, and then you have basically what you call surface water supply. You may also have groundwater supply, and in either case, you have to pump it and pipe it to the users, the consumer. So we're all on these same systems. Unless you have private well, which is still an important supply source in America, but 80% or more of American citizens are served by public systems. And there are over 100,000 of them. About 54,000 of them are regulated as public water supplies. So once you've located your water source, you then have to figure out, how do I get it to where I need it to be? And pipes have been the conveyance of choice for over 100 years. This is called underground infrastructure. For drinking water, there may be 2 or more million linear miles of pipe underground. If you add in the sewer plants and the stormwater, that's another 2 million linear miles of pipe. So altogether, we have about 4 million miles of pipe. The pipe materials are very important, and there is a variety of types. These pipes, while there may be some 100 years old, most of them are being changed out over time.
So when we talk about aging infrastructure, the 4 million miles of underground pipes, are those the things that are aging out that need to be replaced in some communities, and is that what's giving us the big challenges?
Yeah, that's right for some communities. For others, it's not just the pipes, it's the plants, the processing, the treatment systems. And, of course, a lot of those were built 30 and 50 years ago, and they need to be upgraded in order to comply with modern requirements.
I'm curious about what we're adding to the water, and does it vary on region and geography?
Yes. Water treatment itself is a science, and we normally have water chemists who look at the water at the source and then the water coming through the pipes and then coming to the treatment plant and then the water in the pipe going to the homes and what's coming out of the tap. So in a modern system, you would want to know what the water quality is in each one of those places. So basically, we have primary drinking water standards that are set, which apply across the nation. And these are the parameters that we measure to find out if the water is safe. Sometimes when there are organics, maybe a trihalomethane, which is a pollutant, will be found at a tap. Also, like in Flint, you can find metals such as lead.
And that's what I wanted to ask you, Rich, because I've had personal experience. I lived in an older city home with a pipe coming to the house. It wasn't part necessarily of the public system, but the pipe coming into the house had been replaced, but it had been soldered with lead, and so lead was entering the system, and, you know, we found it on a routine check of my daughter. So, A, not everybody is checking for lead, and B, you may have sound pipes, but the connections may be the thing causing the problem. What do you do in a case like that?
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. And that problem in the house also extends to the schools and the hospitals. Is the older plumbing may have lead lining. It may have lead joints. It may have lead soldering. So what do you do in a case like this is we look at Flint, and the U.S. Conference of Mayors was one of the first organizations to get involved to try to help change out those pipes. So in large part, but not in all cases, the homeowner is responsible for the lead pipe from the city system into the home. The challenge is the cost. It could be anywhere from $2,000 to $8,000 per home. And it is the homeowner's responsibility, except for in some cases where the cities own the lead pipes. But by and large, it's a homeowner's responsibility. So when we look at Flint, we saw that because they did not use an orthophosphate chemical to put in the water coming from the Flint River, that water was corroding the lead pipes going into the homes. Congress passed a bill in 2016 which has allocated $100 million towards changing those pipes out. So you can see the dilemma here. This is very expensive for homeowners. It's also very expensive for any level of government, city, state, or federal, to pay the price to have these changed out. Nonetheless, cities are doing that, or they're asking their citizens to do them more and more today because of what happened to your daughter. The other problem is that you have broken pipes. And this is, you know, the industry story is very clear. In Mexico, they treat the water just the same as we do, but less than 50% of it gets to where it's going because there are broken pipes. And the organisms, microorganisms, are reintroduced into those broken pipes as they go to the homeowners.
If we do a water test, which you can do, I guess, by filling up a sample cup and finding a lab to do it, and if things that don't belong in the water, some type of contaminant, shows up, how would we know whether it came from our basement pipe or it was the water coming into the house from the municipality?
Well, you don't unless you test it at several places. And every modern system that is regulated and is permitted by states and EPA, they have a tap sampling program. Now, to answer your question directly, they don't test every tap, but a consumer can do that themselves. And usually the test kit that you get is for a specific substance like lead. So you would have to do a much broader test to find out if there are other things there. Now, the city does a consumer confidence report each year, which says, here are all the pollutants that I'm controlling for, and our sampling program shows us how much of it is there or is not there. So the consumer confidence reports every year are going over those contaminants of concern. There's an emerging group of personal product contaminants that EPA is looking at, which we will not be prepared to have great levels of information in the next 5 years on it. But there will be some standards development because of this, or at least testing and monitoring requirements. So we have probably the safest water in modern society in the world, in an industrial society. It's not always safe all the time. But on the other hand, we are employing nearly 300,000 people at the local government level to control water and sewer every year, and we're spending $115 billion to provide the service and to make sure that it's as safe as we can possibly get it.
A look at municipal water systems with Rich Anderson. He's senior advisor to the U.S. Conference of Mayors Water Council, a position he's held since 1999. Rich, thank you so much for your expertise on this topic.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to speak to you.